Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean.
Okay, Lord, the enemy is trying to not make this happen, Lord. And so we just give it to you. We give you this time, and we just know that all of the IT things, it's gone. You're taking care of it all in Jesus' name. Here we go.
You know what? I love that because I am not in the habit of immediately praying when I have a problem.
I'm not always either, sister. So that's a work in progress. We are works in progress, right? But
that was a wonderful example for me and for everyone listening. So thank you so much for that.
The
Holy Spirit made us even. He spoke through you to me as well. So exactly. Now we're on the same page. I want to start off by, I hate asking people, tell us about yourself, because that can get real deep. Or it can get real surface level
or boring.
So why don't you begin by, So why don't you begin by telling me about your day so far?
My day. Okay. So got up a little bit later than I normally do. I'm a big watch the sunrise person. And I, since this past week has been a little emotional, I've just allowed a little grace. So, but I was up by 6. So that still is good. Sunrise here, I think, is 4:48 a.m. So it's a little early. But so I get up. I have a great routine and I am so in love with my routine. So get up, brush my teeth. I put on my pedometer because I'm counting every single darn step, sister, even when I'm still wearing my pajamas. Go brew my coffee, make sure I take my glasses off, and then I go sit outside for about 3 to 5 minutes and then come in and do a daily devotion, do a little prayer time. And then I kind of check in my Instagram and have another cup of coffee usually. And then my husband usually gets up and it just kind of goes from there. So, yeah.
And you still have a son at home.
Yes. 14 and a half year old son is at home. Yeah. So I have a few hours in the morning before he gets up, right? Because he's a teen. But he does have to be up and have his morning stuff done by 10:30. So I'm still kind of he doesn't get this to be too much of a slacker. He gets one sleep in day a week and he can choose when that is, but for the most part it's kind of business as usual around here.
What, do you have daily things for him to do once he wakes up in the morning?
Oh yeah,
tell me about that. I'm a new parent. You're the pro. You're the mom of Instagram. Tell me what that looks like.
This has always been how it's been, and it's not anything crazy necessarily, but he's expected to make his bed, he brushes his teeth, he takes a shower, he all of those typical personal care things, when do you want your kid to determine that those are important? When they're 17? No, we wanted to start doing that right at 3, 4, 5. And a lot of those things you have to do alongside them, for a period of time. However, this is how we help create daily rhythms and routines for our own kids. Mm-hmm. And then breakfast. I don't prepare his breakfast. On occasion, he may get breakfast prepared for him. My husband's a big breakfast guy, me not so much. So he has been responsible for making his own breakfast. And then for the summer, I have a little whiteboard that is posted on the inside of one of our cabinets in the kitchen. And any extra tasks or jobs that he needs to complete on this day before he gets to just kind of do his own jig, we just kind of write out in there. And then he knows that, you know, whatever, whether it's empty all the trashes in the house or pick up the dog poop or, you know, put the trash cans out to the curb or, you know, whatever. That is just kind of how we've parented all along. And it's pretty effective.
I'm not sure how much you've ever heard me talk about my own husband, but he has always said, I was raised to be a husband and a father from the beginning.
Oh.
And all of the daughters were raised to be mothers and wives.
Yeah.
And I'm like so constantly humbled in our marriage because I just feel like, how did I land this? But it's beautiful. And it sounds like you are preparing your son to be a husband and a father.
Yes. Right. Life skills. We have gotten away from really giving an environment of teaching true life skills to our kids. We have focused so much, this is my opinion, and there are going to be people that hate me, right? Or, you know, haters are always going to be there. But just being a parent for over 30 years and seeing the shifts in, you know, even just the family unit and everything. But in my eye, getting my son involved in sports is not the primary goal of me parenting. Sports is great. There's nothing bad about that. However, I've seen where that just becomes such an idol for the family that so much is lost, that you've got kids leaving home that don't know how to scramble an egg or how to wash their clothes. Or, I mean, these are simple primary things that kids, it's our responsibility to teach, because if we don't, they're not learning it anywhere else. And if I've learned anything in the last 7 months, right, since my platform blew up, was the fact that there are 20s, 30s, and some 40-year-old women and men. Men have reached out to me as well, have no idea how to manage and take care of their home. And that literally, I had no idea the massive black hole that was.
The last, what, how many months has it since your platform blew up?
It started on Thanksgiving Day, so the very end of November. So, yeah, so we're like seven months. Yeah.
Time is fake. So I wanted to explain to you how I came across your page.
Oh, I would love this.
Yeah, because I had, well, we're both Young Living brand partners and users. So we're in a lot of, I'm finding we are related to a lot of circles that exist within Young Living. And I had just come back from my trip to Ecuador. Have you been to Ecuador?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Pivotal trip.
I did not know that. I didn't know that that was like a competition that was going on. And someone left.
Yes. Okay.
And then I got a call that a spot opened up.
Oh, my word.
And I was like, is this a scam? I had only been doing Young Living for like 5 months. I had no idea. I didn't know anything about Ecuador. I didn't know how pivotal of a trip this was.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I have to say yes. I have to.
Yeah.
And so I went, and yes, it is so pivotal. And we got to stay at Nova Vida on the farm. Dude, I had a hydrocolonic, and that is a spiritual experience.
That's right. Me too, sister.
I roomed with Wendy and Soshana. Do you know who they are?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So I come back, and so Shauna, Wendy, and I, and we're all like brainstorming about our businesses, and social media was one of them. And so Shauna was like, you have to look at Susan Hott. She's blowing up. And so I started following you from there. And then I was like, oh my God, this must be so overwhelming for her. It's like, how is she managing all of this? And you've been killing it. So how has that been for you? Growing a huge social media platform, managing that on top of managing your family and just like personal care things you would be doing anyway.
I will say, you know, as it was happening, it literally unbelievable. like you set out, right? Like, what was my goal was, yeah, I wanted to grow some Instagram followers, right? I want to grow my account. But watching every morning, waking up and, you know, my account growing by 5, 10, 15, 20,000 followers overnight, I was just like, what is happening? So thank goodness I did get some advice to hire some help because I really didn't have that. But I chose to hire out other areas of my business so that it was me showing up in the DMs, not an assistant. And I will say that that is my number one priority. And so it's been very helpful. It is still daunting. I still do miss getting to some messages. But, you know, the fact of the matter is God has found this time to bless my consistency of over 16 years showing up with a passion I have. And he's chosen this platform at this time to do this. And it would be inauthentic for me to hire somebody else out to pretend they are me responding. So no offense to somebody else that may need to do that, but it's just not, that's just not the platform that I want to have.
I completely agree. And I'm so glad that you've said that because there have been times when I've wanted to outsource things and the intentionality behind Instagram DMs and the relationship building, the genuine relationship building is what's going to create community and what's going to create longevity. In my opinion, nobody can replicate the Susie Sparkle, and nobody can replicate the wisdom of Susan Hyde, in my opinion. So I want what people are seeing on social media to be what they're experiencing in their personal conversations with me. So I think that was very wise. Regardless of how good a person is at that, you know, I'm woo-woo. I think we all pick up on subtle energies. And I still think that there's going to be an underlying level of inauthenticity in that. And that's going to slowly break down the audience and the relationship and the trust that they have in you.
Totally. Oh my gosh, girl. Yes. Because I'm in some coaching right now and it's been great. And one of the things that just keeps reverberating is in a world of AI, people are going to want connection and that this is what they're going to want. Like I can AI all kinds of content all day, right?
Yes.
But if it's not me behind it, not, you know, me when somebody messages wanting some clarification, you know, and I send them, you know, a voice message on Instagram and they like almost pee their pants because they are like, what? You? It's you? You know, that's the kind of joy I want to bring to somebody's life. Not that it's, oh, it's me, I'm so fabulous, but I want connection. This is what this platform was built for. And honestly, I don't really want 575,000 followers. I really don't. I don't. That's too many people, you know? And so I'm okay. I mean, I was almost at 600,000 and now I'm, you know, I'm losing followers every day and that's okay. I don't have that scarcity mindset anymore because I know the people that are truly meant to be in my little corner of the gram, they're going to be there and that's okay. So
I'm so glad that you're not tied to that. I have found, and yeah, to speak to that point, I know that there might be some people listening that are like, I would kill to have that kind of platform, but don't understand the responsibility that comes with that and the microscope that comes with that.
Yeah.
And the backlash that comes with that, regardless of the type of content that you're putting out.
Yeah, it's so true.
And, oh my gosh, it's exhausting on all levels. So that was how I found you. And
okay.
ever since then, I've just been falling in love with you. And then we became friends and then we started chatting about business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started chatting about how we're going to hang out at convention.
Yes.
And it's just been so, and I appreciate that. I feel a connection to you and a relationship with you. And it's beautiful. And I've been so excited to make a new friendship. So
yes,
I want to know a little bit more. I did a little stalking.
Oh, no.
Well, you know this already because I sent you the outlook. I want to know about right now, your platform, from what I see, is parenting and motherhood, homemaking, being a godly wife, godly mother, that whole realm.
Yeah.
But you used to be a flight attendant.
I know.
So I need to know about this journey.
Yeah.
Like, was homemaking something that you were brought up with? Was it something that manifested itself when you were a single mother, which is also something that I found out about you?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, okay. So I'll give you the brief rundown. So yes, I married at 24, was married for 7 years, had two children. And at that point in that marriage, I wanted out. And so I did leave. And about a year to 2 years after that, I got really curious about faith. And I wasn't brought up in the church, didn't really had no idea. I called myself an agnostic. No idea, really. And so I started attending church with my two kids, who ironically attended a Christian school, although I wasn't a Christian at that time. And that's where I gave my life to Christ. And so it was during that season of single motherhood that, you know, I grew in my faith. God provided lots of different things. And I prayed and prayed to get remarried again. But I prayed for a man that truly, you know, was a believer and that would lead our home. You know, I was a flight attendant, had been a flight attendant since I was 21. And so I still was working that job, being a single mom and my kids going back to their dads when I was doing that. That ironic thing, and this is how God, I feel, has a sense of humor. I actually prayed to marry a pilot because one of the issues in my previous marriage was that my then husband, didn't understand the industry and really thought that we were always out just partying as flight attendants and pilots and all of the things, right? And that, you know, there was probably some of that going on, but not to that extent. So I was like, I just want to marry another pilot so that they understand, you know, that it's not like that. And so sure enough, I was set up on a blind date by a mutual friend and ended up going on a date with a pilot from a different airline and whatever. So I ended up marrying this pilot who, yes, total godly man. We went out on our first blind date and he asked to pray over our dinner. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the guy. Like, he's not just, you know, saying he's whatever. He's walking it. Then yeah, a little over a year after we began dating, then we got married, and that was almost 17 years ago. That's that part of the story. And then I thought I would still keep flying. He was, you know, piloting. We were at two different airlines. We thought that would be, you know, our story. And then it became clear it was going to be really difficult to have that kind of a lifestyle and then have our three kids. So he had a son from his previous marriage and I had my two kids. And then I felt this tug in my heart that I was supposed to do something else. Even the years where I was a single mom, I really felt a calling to create a home that was nurturing for, you know, my kids, our family. I can look back now and see how, you know, my mom created traditions and just different things that I did learn, you know, a lot of that in from what my mom and my grandma did. I mean, those kind of, you know, memories. I felt like I'm supposed to do something with this. But at that time, when I was looking around, like, what do I do? And this is 17, 18 years ago. So blogs were kind of like kind of newish, you know, like I didn't know any, you know, there wasn't really the social media. It was very different times. So the best thing I could come up with at that time was to get certified as a parent coach. So I went through a year-long program to get certified as a parent coach. And did that and then came out of that thinking, oh, all these people are going to come to my door being like, I want Susan to coach me. That wasn't the case. Like, you know, I was like, okay, now what? And then they said, oh, well, you should start a blog. People have to get to know, like, and trust you, right? And then you can share some of your wisdom and then you'll get people, you know, clients. And so I was like, oh, okay. So that was a whole new skill set of things to learn. So I started my blog, and then it just kind of grew in that space. And then I took some more courses on, you know, homemaking, and I became a family manager coach. But what I found through this transition was that oftentimes moms would come to me for coaching because of having issues with their kids. But what we began to uncover was that it was lack of routine, lack of rhythm. Their house was chaotic. And so what do you expect your child's behavior to be? And so it really, I was then able to mesh, you know, this family manager coach part with the parenting coach. And that's kind of where things kind of snowballed.
I found, and this is where I thought you were going, but I think they both combine. And listen, I've got an almost 2-year-old. I am no pro by any means. I've been married for like 4 years, okay? But from what I have also seen is when challenges arise, yes, to your point, any type of chaos in the home, whether that's physical chaos and lack of routine or the marital foundation, is that marital foundation there? Is the love and respect circle happening? Are you, as parents, a unified front in front of your child?
That's big.
Oh my gosh. And it's these small things that without coaching, and Robbie and I were so blessed to do like 3 marriage classes through our church and then be mentored before marriage to have gone through this, to see this.
Yeah.
But it's these small things that people don't consider as important. And especially now, I'm doing a lot of shadow work and a lot of childhood work, and I'm seeing all of that chaos. Like, my home was pristine. My home looks like a model home. But the marital foundation, there could have been some work there. And that would have made me as a child feel secure. Have a secure foundation to thrive in safety. So thank you for bringing that up for anyone that's listening that might be having these struggles. It's chaos.
Yeah.
At the foundation, or it's a shaky and rocky something that, again, whether you're woo-woo or not,
right,
your children are picking up on these energies.
Yes.
Children, and as a former teacher, I used to say children are like sharks. And I taught high schoolers, like, they can smell out when you're faking it, when you're pretending to be more aggressive or more stern than your personality really is. And they exploit that. Mm. And so making sure that these things are intact is going to, I mean, children, all to say, children pick up on things so much more easily and effectively than we give them credit for. And especially when children are younger and they're so egocentric, what's going to happen when they pick up on trouble and smell that energy? They're going to blame themselves. And then that's just going to continue to grow into who knows what.
Trauma. It's trauma that ends up becoming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what other problems later down the road? So thank you, first of all, for bringing that to this conversation. And second of all, for pursuing that. And third, now bringing it to the world. You are serving so many.
Yes, that's exactly where I feel. It's just the hugest blessing. Even on the days where, you know, I just need to take a deep breath, or like, you know, something really hits somebody and I've got my DMs blowing up, and it's like, you know what? I just have to stop. Nothing is an emergency. This is all okay. There's a reason. And, you know, I can show up how I can show up. And I am still so grateful, because I get, you know, messages. We all want to feel appreciated and valued and like seen, right? And so this is definitely a being seen space for me, right? Obviously, but where I, like we were saying before, where I really love to be seen is in my DMs. Like, that brings me so much joy. I can post a reel and it may get lots of views, but honestly, I want to see my DMs blow up, because that's where people are coming to me with their struggle, or they want to say something, you know, there. That to me is life-giving. And so that's when I know I'm in the lane that the Lord has for me right now.
Oh, yeah. And even for me as a follower of just random people, it's one thing to watch a reel. It's one thing to comment on a reel. But you have to really have a connection with someone or a trust in someone's platform to go out of your way to message them and send them. Whether you think that they're going to respond or it's just going to be like thrown out into the ether, I've only done that with influencers or people with large followings that I just genuinely trust and look up to. And I don't care if they respond or not, but that just continuously speaks, as you were saying, to the authenticity that you show up with, which translates into trust and connection. You had a blog. And that's how this all started. And you started seeing that these trends of chaos in the home. Mm-hmm. How did that grow into wanting to start sharing this on social media as well?
You know what? I can remember coming. Oh. I had my blog talking about lots of different things, you know, mostly parenting topics, a little bit of homemaking. And then, you know, I ran a coaching program called Screen Free Parenting. That was great. Had a lot of that. And I just remember doing tweets about it. This is how old is this? Like, I was like, Twitter, what is that? Like, I have to do this Twitter, you know? And I think about that same time, maybe I had just gone into Facebook before I decided Twitter or whatever, but I can just remember Twitter parties that I'm like, you're too young to even remember that, because it's like forever ago. But, you know, if there's anything in this space, you are always learning something new. And that's what I did. So, and then, you know, I just kept blogging, and then it was putting out, you know, some digital products. And, you know, and so that's like the big thing, you know, right now, digital marketing. Well, I began digital marketing, you know, 13 years ago. And so I was able to produce some products that would solve small pain points for moms. Like, my first thing that I created was a summer calendar where it gave people, you know, one or two things to do every day of the summer. And, you know, it was like a hyperlink to like a blog post for an activity or a recipe or something. And, you know, and made it, it was like, I think the first year I made it, it was like $5. But, you know, the whole premise with digital marketing is you make it at a price point that is so hard for people to say no at, but you sell volumes of it, right? That's really what it is, right? It slowly then evolved for me to create the household planner that I have now, which has been just a game changer, you know, for moms who truly don't know, you know, where to start to help keep their home in some kind of tidy condition. I mean, literally the brain and decision fatigue that most women face during the day, they're stuck from making any move forward because they just don't know where to start. And so if you can solve that problem for people, then they just use that energy to do what they can on a list. It's kind of evolved until to where I am here with Instagram. And now I just love that platform because it's different than Facebook. It's different than a blog platform.
For anyone listening that might also be on a social media journey or just sharing products on all different platforms, you mentioned that there's so much learning and things are always evolving. Like when you were going through Twitter and you were having to figure out Twitter, there's a lot of fumbling, and then there's a lot of growing, and there's a lot of failing forward. And that's not talked about enough, at least in my opinion, or at least in my feed of people's struggles behind the scenes before they gained all of this success. And I know I might be putting you on the spot here, but can you name like one or two times where you just like face planted in your growth from deciding to start this blog until literally today, or anything you would have done different or anything you've learned that has made this more efficient and authentic?
Well, you know, I think one of the mistakes that I made, I think, was partnering up with some people you know, or products per se that maybe I would not have really decided to do had I had a long game vision in place. Meaning like, and, you know, nothing severely bad happened from these experiences, but it's very easy to think in the moment, especially when you're a newer entrepreneur and you are looking at making the buck, right? And that is always that's the end game, right? I mean, yes, we want to be here to have influence and to help people, but really that is part of the end game is it's a money. We want to make the money. And so I think, you know, I have made a few of those mistakes and didn't prioritize my time on the things that were truly important. And I'll share this in all authenticity. I had my blog up and running. It was going well, and lots of different products going. And then, you know, I met Young Living, and Young Living changed my life because I had been diagnosed with an autoimmune condition and had been clinically depressed for over 16 years and needed to get off of my antidepressant medication. And literally, I had tried that many times in my life. And so my doctor was like, we have to get you off this medication. It actually might be contributing to your lupus. And so we need to discover this. And so I began scrambling, searching, like, what can I do to help myself get off of these antidepressants? Like, I've tried this before. I haven't been successful. And I ended up buying oils off of Amazon. That did no good, you know, and then I dug in, okay, we got to do a little more research. And then, you know, I grabbed my starter kit and with the help of, you know, my doctor overseeing and, you know, and incorporating a few other things, you know, support group of people, you know, prayer, lots of things, I was able to get off of that medication in 3 months. And then I shared that with my readers. And the amount of other women in the same spot as me was profound. And my business, my Young Living business, exploded. It was just in that season of that. And so what happened is I really got overtaken by growing a Young Living team, which has been a massive blessing and huge. And then my blog kind of took a back seat. And so it was a very difficult balancing thing, I think, for me personally. I don't know if I would call that a mistake, but I can look back and see now, like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have let the blog fall to maybe 10% of my attention and Young Living 90%. But yeah. It was such a massive season that it was really hard to see that in the moment.
And that's a beautiful thing that I was going to commend you on or make a comment on anyways. With a lot of these lessons that we're learning, like, there was no other decision we could have made in the moment.
Right.
You wouldn't have had this like hindsight.
Exactly.
That's 2020. Of course, like we say it all the time, but I think what I'm trying to say is to anyone who's made a quote mistake or would have done something differently at the time, like there can't be any lost sleep over that because you did the best that you could with the information that you had and the energetic bandwidth that you had. And
true. Like, you know, and all of these are things that you are supposed to walk through, right? How do you learn to become wiser in the decisions you make as you move forward? If everything was like perfect and you never, you know, regretted or you feel like you made a wrong decision, like how are you going to learn to do something different? And, you know, and so I will say definitely this journey of entrepreneurship, whether it's a blog, whether it's a network marketing business, all of these pieces, it is the massive personal growth. I mean, I don't even recognize myself, and people that, you know, knew me from high school, they're not going to recognize this person. Who is this person? Like it's just so massive when you step into doing things differently, because honestly, entrepreneurship is different. I was talking to a friend this morning, like, girl, I said, we're the one percenters. Like we are the one percenters, the people that step into learning to do new things and really wanting to be in control of whatever financial part, you know, or their future, all of these pieces. I'm like, yep, because I've done some crazy things in my life that normal people would be like, how, like, we moved here from this area we were in 7 years ago and went to a remote area, you know, and built this house that took 3 years to complete. But before it was completed, we knew, like, oh, this, we thought it was our dream house, but it's not our dream house. We're selling everything. Peace out. We're traveling the country in an Airstream.
Like, who does that? We do.
Because we're crazy.
No, maybe crazy, but let's reclaim crazy for a positive connotation.
Life is meant to be lived. And if anything, I am so passionate about, like, I want to live as a one percenter. I am so grateful that I have some financial bandwidth to make some decisions that aren't going to make or break our family, right? I'm grateful I have a husband that is like, let's do it. Let's do something crazy and see what happens. Like, if it doesn't work, okay, then we'll pivot and we'll figure it out, you know? And it's so refreshing to be in that space. And that's, I think, if I can help equip other people to kind of capture that vision, don't be a victim to your life. There's so much there, you know, and maybe that's why I get so passionate about women and homemaking, is because our society has made homemaking, and if you're a homemaker, you're a victim. Like, you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this. And it's so far from the truth.
What a wonderful parlay into my next question. I'm a very big advocate of not putting people in boxes. And I understand why people do so. I'm sure it has something to do with, like, evolving in order to better understand what's going on in our lives and better understand, like, the environment that we're in to protect ourselves and our families. But it's frustrating for you, I'm sure, to make a homemaking video and have hate comments about how, oh, well, if you're a homemaker and you're encouraging people to have, like, daily to-dos and manage their home better and, like, create organization and peace in their lives, then you must also believe X, Y, Z. You must also believe that women need to be victims. You must also believe that that is the best a woman can do. And that's so far from the truth. And that's putting you in a box. And for me, I'm a diehard Christian. And also, I charge my crystals under the full moon. And that's okay. Yep. And that can happen together. I love my essential oils. But also, I take my Klonopin as often as I need to. Mm-hmm. I wanted a home birth, but that doesn't mean that I completely neglect the medical system. And it's so frustrating when people do this, because also, first of all, it's not true. But second of all, they would hate if it was done to them as well, because none of us fit into boxes.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk to you about what intentional homemaking is to you, because it is not what these haters are leaving, or these trolls are leaving on your videos. So can you define homemaking as you see it? And what are the common challenges that homemakers see today and how they can overcome them?
Well, I think that one of the most common challenges is that society as a general has downplayed the role of a homemaker. And then, to take it one step further, this has become very apparent to me as well, is that if you work outside the home, well, then you're not a homemaker. You don't have the blessing to be at home and, you know, and not make a living outside the home. And that is where I'm like, whoa, time out. No. You are a homemaker, whether you work outside the home, work part-time out of the home, whatever, it doesn't matter. Women, and it's from my perspective as a believer, right? My Christian biblical perspective is that women, and I'll say it again, women were uniquely gifted to nurture the family unit in a very specific way. And then that falls under the umbrella of being a homemaker. So, you know, just because you your family has made a choice that you are working outside of the home, it doesn't negate your responsibility to be that steadfast, secure person that provides a nurturing space for your family. That is just my stance, and people can say they don't agree, and that's okay. But we have been given a false, I don't know if you want to say doctrine or whatever, like society does in general is really negative towards homemakers. We are seeing a shift, and I can see it now. And I'm like, I've labeled it the homemaking revolution, because homemakers are coming back to a place to own and take back their role regardless. And it is so empowering when we see women rise up and stay in that place. What I say about that is that what you do in your home reflects your values. You are nurturing your family. You find joy and peace in that. That's a struggle for some women, right? But I do believe we can find joy and peace. Finding joy in things, it is not necessarily a feeling. It is an intention. You have got to choose to find joy in these actions. And when you make that little mind shift, it is amazing how much joy you can experience by putting a homemade casserole on the dinner table rather than, you know, dumping out your fast food that you picked up. You know, there's just so much with that. And it just means being intentional with your time, not always having excuse after excuse after excuse because whatever, the laundry's not done, you know, you haven't vacuumed the floor in 2 weeks or whatever. And yes, there are seasons where things don't get done. And so don't hear me saying that, you know, that is the be all end all. A tidy home doesn't make a great homemaker. So hear me on that. There's so many pieces to that. However, it is part of your duty. It is part of your role as a homemaker, but it doesn't mean you're the maid of your home. Part of a homemaker is also you're managing your home. It is learning how to delegate these things that, you know, just like you as a business owner, we delegate tasks to different people, right? We hire out things. If hiring out some things is what you can do, great. But teaching your kids and allowing them into the role of caring for the home creates so much family unity. And I just feel like, man, we have gotten away from that and kind of back to what we were talking about earlier about prioritizing our kids' activities outside of spending time together in our home as a family. So many families, they spend more time out of their home than they do in their home. I could keep going, but I won't. It's obviously my hill to die on.
And I loved listening to it, and I could hear the passion in it. And I also want to say, well, first of all, because I also want to say that this conversation is not necessarily just a woman-centered conversation. We're not talking about the men of the household because we are not men of the household, right? And we can't speak on that experience. However, I will say, and I'm sure you'll back me up, like, men have their roles and their biblical roles in our marriages as well that are also equally challenging to maintain. To love your spouse as Christ loves the church, I can tell you, I am not lovable a lot of the time. And
me too.
Yeah. And Robbie can consistently, not always, because we're all fallible.
Yeah.
But he can consistently meet me with love when I'm being a monster. And we naturally fell in these traditional roles, even though I never wanted to. It just naturally happened. Like, he is managing our home in a different way. He is looking over all of these finances. He is budgeting. He is figuring out what's a priority in our home and what's not. He is making the final yes or no decisions. Do I want that responsibility? No. Looking at the finances makes me want to vomit. And to be frank, I'm just not a person that likes to make decisions. I prefer what to be told to do because it gives me parameters, okay? But he's also, like, he doesn't have the gift of patience. He doesn't have the energetic intuition
right
that I have when it comes to raising our son. So there are so many areas that I take over that he just doesn't have the skills to. And emphasizing again and again, it's not greater than or less than. It is different skills, different roles that are equally valuable.
Oh, yeah.
Society doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. And so we need more conversations on this. And what I actually wanted to bring up was the homemaking revolution. And I agree. I've been seeing a lot of this too. And I don't know if it's maybe just the algorithm and I'm in an echo chamber.
Yeah. Right.
But I have probably a different algorithm than you because I'm in this like woo-woo spiritual world. But where you're seeing more of the homemaking revolution, and probably we overlap. We're probably both getting like homesteading content.
Yeah. Right.
But I've also been seeing a lot on leaning into your divine feminine and divine masculine traits, which is just at the end of the day, like we're all saying the same thing. These are just different words for our innate gifts as men and women. And what we see in these conversations of biblical marriages or biblical roles as a wife and mother or a husband and father, and what we're seeing in these conversations of divine feminine and divine masculine is we inevitably end up feeling more fulfilled when we are able to live in alignment with these gifts that we naturally have, as opposed to pushing them down and forcing what society tells us that we need to do.
Oh, man, you articulated that so well.
These are things that I ruminate on sometimes, especially, I mean, you know, like it can be hard for me because I'm like put in this box and like people call me a heretic sometimes, but
right.
I'm in this spiritual woo-woo world and I'm also in this Christian world, and I just see and think a lot on how much overlap there is that's not discussed. And I mean, I reflect on it myself in my own life, and I run everything that I take in through the Holy Spirit as my filter.
Right.
And these are the conclusions that I've come to and that I've put into practice myself, like leaning into my intuition and my softness and my caretaking as opposed to hustling.
Yeah.
Or leaning into my cycle and aligning my activities to that, much more productive, and feel so much more grace and feel so much more energized emotionally so that I can show up for my family.
Yeah. Let's take that.
Kind of my soapbox. You're juggling a lot. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier. You're juggling a lot with your own family, with social media, with Young Living, with, I just found out you do devotionals on the YouVersion app.
Well, I lead people through them. So I'm not writing them, but this is something I started, I think, shortly before COVID. So literally, I mean, how long is this? 3.5 years now or longer? Yeah. So I just pick a devotional on the YouVersion app, and then you can have up to 150 people join the same little devotional. And so, yeah, so I will finish one and have a little couple days, and then I'm like, okay, let's do this one next. And I'll post it in my stories, and, you know, usually they fill up. And it's just, you know, another way to, one, and this is another thing that has been so sweet in the way that the Lord shows up and is using my platform. Like, not everybody that follows me is a believer. They don't have the same faith as me, but that's okay. Like, it's not going to change who I am. Like, this is who I am. Everything I do is through a biblical lens. That's just me. But it doesn't mean that I don't have respect or, you know, or want to hear from other people that believe differently. And that has been such a beautiful thing. But I've had so many other women who have fallen away from their walk with the Lord, felt very alone, very abandoned, not sure where to start, maybe somebody that's just kind of looking at their faith, or like, I see you, meaning me, right, doing this, or maybe I'm reading from, you know, a book and kind of sharing a little of my faith, then they start asking me questions, and then they're like walking into an invitation to take a look at, you know, who Jesus is. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Or so these simple devotions that I've been reading have brought women back to reading the word. So at first it scared me because I'm like, I'm not an evangelist.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I don't know. But I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is point them to God's word. He'll take over. He'll do this, right? And so it's been such a beautiful thing. Yeah. So, yeah. So those devotions have been really great just to hear, you know, somebody else's perspective. They'll just type it in the little chat that's in the app. And, you know, we read the same thing, but here's what they got out of it. It's just so rich.
I love that. Well, okay. So you're doing all of these things. I want to know how you, and this is going to be a two-part question.
Okay.
How you stay motivated to continue this work, and how you support your emotional health and stability and battery.
First part, how do I stay motivated? I think when you know that you know that you know that you're in your lane, you cannot not be motivated. Like, it literally lights a fire under my keister every day. I shouldn't say every day, because there's some days where I'm like, okay, Susan just needs a little exhale and just kind of reset, right? But literally, that's how I feel. Like, I'm like, no, this is it. There's so much good happening that, yeah. So the motivation part is not necessarily a struggle for me, for sure, because I know that I know that I know. I have been working more diligently on the other part of that, is how do I nurture myself so that I can show up and pour out into people, right? And so, you know, my outside time, I'm like a huge, you know, I've been sitting out at sunrise for over a year, and I feel like, oh my gosh, it's the biggest free thing that people could be doing. Is the sun is your bestie, friends. Like, get that sunlight, you know? So that for me has been a game changer. Obviously having oils in my life is a game changer. As somebody that, I mean, I have MTHFR, I have some other genetic mutations that I recently, you know, discovered about a year ago that make it clear to me now why I have trouble with a serotonin uptake and some other things. And so now I know, oh, I got to use oils a little more frequently than other people, because we know how they work so effectively going through the limbic system and working right now. I don't have to wait 4 weeks, you know, for a pill to work or whatever, you know. So breathing and slowing down, right? And just having that as a tool has been huge. I'm a big outdoor person, so I need to be outside. I also recently discovered I was a highly sensitive person, and I always thought I knew I'm an introvert, which is true. I, you know, get my energy revived by being alone. Large crowds exhaust me. But also, as a highly sensitive person, there are other elements to that, which I'm discovering about myself. And I don't see it as a negative now. I just see it, that's who I am, and exploring that and understanding that. And it's amazing when I share some of that in my stories that people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that I was like that too. Anyway, so that has been great. But, you know, connecting with my family, I mean, when you get to this season where I'm at, 57, you know, just getting ready to have my first biological grandchild. Your older kid relationships, that is like the be all end all for me. So if we can have family dinner at my house, if I could have it every week and all my kids came home, and that just fills my tank, because there is nothing more important than my life and how I lead my life following Jesus, and then my family. There is nothing. And so making time for both of those things, that is what restores and refreshes me. And it's when I'm missing those that I struggle.
What kinds of boundaries have you set to ensure that that happens? I know it can be very, especially in our Young Living business, and especially just with social media in general, it can be very hard to like leave a DM unanswered. What boundaries have you set to make sure that you get that time? Because I am also an introvert.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've tried really hard in the, probably I've been doing this for at least 2 months, is that at 7 o'clock at night, my phone is put away. It's put to the side. It may be that I check it once before I head up to bed at 9 to see, is there anything that's critical or whatever? But sometimes I don't even do that. I definitely don't open Instagram. I don't say, oh, I'll just check and see, right? Because that's just opening the invitation. So that has been a key. I also do not open my phone when I first get up in the morning. So no, I mean, like I said, on my little routine, right? I do open my phone to video, because it's always part of my daily story routine, video me out in my, you know, morning sunrise time. But I don't look at DMs or whatever. I just record the video and then do my devotion time and then that. And then I also do not post. I do not show up. I don't come into Instagram on Sunday at all. And that has been a good thing for me, just to have that day where I don't have to answer to anybody. And here's the thing that, you know, we learn, like sometimes it feels like, oh my gosh, yeah, there's this sale or somebody needs this or whatever. You know what? Nothing is ever an emergency. Nothing. Literally. I mean, but nothing. And then I love this because it's like, I think Leslie Burris says this all the time, but even my friend Kathleen says it, this is not a problem. And I need to constantly turn that on myself. Like if I start to get up, you know, wound up about something, whether it's online or, you know, somebody needs something from me, it's like, you know what? That can wait. This is not a problem. This is not a problem. So it is. It's hard to have boundaries, but it's so, yeah, so critical.
I've been trying to Sabbath actually on Sundays. It's not an every week thing, but it's starting, and something is better than nothing.
That's so right.
I know a lot of people mention that, and on the days that I do that, it is so liberating.
Mm-hmm. It's
just
so good.
Back from church and like immediately get into my PJs and like sit on the couch, and me and my husband just watch my baby do stuff.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, just have like stuff cooking in the background in the crock pot. Or sit outside on the patio and not look at my phone. And, you know, I have a lot of anxiety there that I'm working through. It's irrelevant, but working on reminding myself as well, nothing is an emergency. And if there was an emergency,
they would get a hold of you. The real emergencies know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah. So I just have one more question before I get into my 5 fun questions. Okay. Leaving this conversation today, moms that want to start homemaking, taking care of their home, creating a nurturing and safe foundation environment for their children, for themselves, for their spouses, what is a practical step that mothers can take to just start doing that and to find joy in doing that? Which you already touched on a little bit, but let's redo it.
Yeah. So, you know, practical steps, because that's what everybody's coming to my page to find, right? They all want to know, like, what do I do? What do I do? I just want to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I did create a freebie that people can grab on my site. It's 10 habits for an intentional home. And I think so often, right, we get stuck in the all or nothing mentality. Like, I have to do all of these things or I suck. You know, I got to do all these things or no progress is going to be made. And that's where I say, no, 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 no. Practical steps is implementing, pick one or two things that become habits that then you build on. You take a couple habits, put them into place. And so, for instance, I run my dishwasher every single night, whether it's full or not. It gets run. So in the morning, I empty it and we start off clean. And that's just part of our routine. The same thing. Nearly every single day, I do a load of laundry. That way, I'm not on a Saturday where I've got 12 loads of laundry and it's so overwhelming, right? And so I have a list of 10 other type of habits like this that just implement one or two of those, get them under your belt for, you know, a week, and then maybe pick one more to add in. And so it just becomes habit. Just like when I go down, you know, after I wake up in the morning and I brush my teeth, that's a habit. I don't even have to think about it anymore. I walk over to the sink. I drink my 16 ounces of water. That's a habit. Then I go brew my cup of coffee. I'm not having to think. And that's the kind of the rhythm that you really want to create for yourself, because making space in your brain for all of those decisions, it keeps you in a procrastination mode and in anxiety because you don't know where to start. And so that would be the one thing that I would say. And then for the joy aspect, it is a mindset shift, right? You truly, you know, if you are a believer, I would ask for the Lord to bring that joy into your heart and soul, and for Him to give you that joy in what it looks like in how you're serving your family. And I can almost guarantee He will show up and He will give you that, because you are falling in alignment with exactly what He has for you. And it will come together in that space for sure. So
what's that? I'm not good with Bible verse memorization. That's Rob either. He's a pastor's kid. Oh, okay. I think it's James that asks the Lord, move the mountain. It will surely be done. You know which one I'm talking about.
Well, I'm terrible with Bible verses. So
whatever. I'll cut that part out. Pray for it. Believe that it will be delivered. Yes. And it will surely be delivered.
Right.
Is the moral of.
Yeah. God's not going to leave you hanging. If you truly come and ask, gosh, this feels burdensome to me. This doesn't bring me joy. One, I would stop that language. This doesn't bring me joy. Right. So what are you doing? You are setting yourself up to have that become truth. This doesn't bring me joy, right? And so maybe you need to start loading or unloading the dishwasher. I'm so grateful to serve my family in this way. I'm so grateful to serve my family this way. You know, you have to speak it out before you truly are going to feel it or believe it. I mean, that's with most anything. You know, our mind wants to lead us astray.
Words and language are so powerful. And a couple of years ago, our friend Ethan started on his own, but we all picked up on it. Every time he would say have to, he would change it to get to.
Get to.
Such a good one. Mm-hmm. I get to unload the dishwasher, because that means that we have dishes to dirty in our family. And that's a blessing that a lot of people don't have.
Mm-hmm. You know, a little tidbit on that whole concept. I had done a reel probably 4 months ago where I had matured a little bit in, you know, my marriage is great. My husband is amazing. He does great things. But, you know, with most men, there's a couple little things that kind of can get under my skin. And one of them is, like, he leaves his shoes in a spot that is not where I want him to leave his shoes. And so I was like allowing myself to get so irritated about this shoe issue. And then finally one day I'm like, why am I allowing this? Like, it's not my job to change him, right? Yes. If it bothers me that these shoes are in this spot, I'm wasting so much energy, right? Just go pick up the shoes and put them where I want. So I just started doing that. It's like no sweat now. Like, well, he left them out. Okay. It's going to be a joy for me just to put them up, because I don't want the day to come where my husband isn't here. And I would give anything to be able to pick up those shoes that he left. Right. And I did a reel on this, and I didn't convey my message very effectively. And you always are going to have haters anyway. And people were like, I'm not going to pick up after my husband. And he's a slob and all, you know, all of the things. But the to bring this all back in, it doesn't matter if it's your husband. Our job as, you know, as the mom and the homemaker, right? We are there to train our children. So I'm not saying you do the same approach with our kids, right? We are wanting to train our children. However, it is still the whole concept of how we choose to think about what we're doing and how we're serving our family that will impact our own mental health. And if you constantly see your caring for your family as a burden, or it's a job, or I have to instead of I get to, you will stay miserable. I mean, I hate to tell you that, but you will. So I would behoove people that feel that to truly lean in to how they can change that, because it's life-giving when you really truly understand the power you have in your home. It's not just your family that's there. You have the power to change generations because of things that you start doing in your home. People have no idea the power, women especially, but I mean, men and their role is completely different too, but so much power when we tap into that.
I've never thought about it that way. That is such an empowering statement. And not just, one of my cousins brought this up, not just, what is this direction? Not just vertically through generations.
Yeah.
But horizontally as well, because that joy and that intentionality and that safety and that everything is going to infect everyone in your
home. Yes,
cult.
It's contagious.
And it's going to infect everyone they come into contact with. And the same thing is true with the lack mentality mindset.
Yes.
Of this is work. I have to do this. I don't want to do this. The resentment is also going to generationally and
yes,
horizontally impact people. And I think we need to also just give ourselves more credit for the impact that we have. We don't think, a lot of people don't realize how much of a ripple effect our small interactions have, whether you have a large social media following, whether you have a ton of friends, whether you are going out all the time and your face is, and you're like out doing activities or not. The small interactions that you have with your children, with a mom at the park, with answering a single phone call from a family member, those have so much power and so much potential to reach way farther than you would have anticipated.
Yes.
And that's the power of Jesus. I just want to say, I'll be honest, sorry to all of my past guests, but most of the time I drop the ball on my five fun questions and I'm like typing them out during our conversation as things come up. But this morning it was like, I think I already wrote Susan's. And there was a time last week when I was just feeling so inspired. And I just like, five fun questions off the top of my head, 30 seconds.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, when I was stalking you. So what is a typical day in your life like now, balancing family, Instagram, and your other commitments? So walk me through the whole day, including commitments as a mother and a wife.
Okay. So we kind of covered, you know, my first, like the morning part of my routine. And then I started something a couple days ago, which I'm just going to include because it is now part of my routine. But between usually 8 and 9, I get on the treadmill and I run a mile a day. And I used to be a runner and I have kind of not done that piece anyways. And so a friend inspired me. So that is what I do. I get out there right away and do that. And then I may finish getting my 10,000 steps at that time, or I may do it later. So, but then I come in and I usually sit down. I try to do a little bit of work at the computer. I will answer DMs. And then now that it's summer, especially, My 14 and a half year old is home, so it's kind of juggling a few things with him, but he's pretty independent, which I'm very grateful for this season, because I really do have a lot of space to do what I want. And right now my husband is home. So he's a pilot. So he works outside of the home, which can be a positive and a negative, but so it means he's home for chunks at a time, but then he's also gone for chunks at a time. But that's all I've known. That's how it's been the whole time we've been married. Days when my husband's in town may look a little differently than when he's gone. And so I think my son and I just kind of mesh to what that looks like. So my son does kind of his own thing. So I'm not like the take my son to the park, you know, stage anymore. So it's kind of nice in that respect, but usually running him to maybe an activity or something, I just try to have like 2 or 3 hours in a day where I'm not working, because literally I love to work. I literally love to work. I could just sit and work all the time. So my recent focus right now is getting together in person with real life connections. So I might meet somebody for coffee, or like yesterday, I went to see a good friend of mine who is on hospice, unfortunately, but I made meals for her and had an amazing visit. And so for me, that's bringing me life. And so I want to be really intentional about in-person connection, because it can be really challenging, I think, having an online persona. Right. And you have a lot of those types of connections. But I feel like I have been lacking in-person connection. And so, but it's kind of been fun too, because I am out and about in my area and people will recognize me for following me on Instagram. Oh my gosh. It has happened so many times. But so I have been like, people were like, oh my gosh, I live near you. I'm like, well, let's meet for coffee. And so I
got. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You felt. Be gooped and gagged when you say that.
Is that, well, so I have actually met more than four people anyway that followed me on Instagram when we started chatting in DMs, and you know, met at a local coffee shop and had coffee. And anyway, so that has been a gift. So my intentional time of connecting with real in-person people has been a true gift. And so, and then I'm a big, you know, cook dinner for my family. So that is going to be a priority. So we have dinner together as a family. And then I kind of wind down at the end of the evening and really trying to read books. I'm not much of a TV person. So just kind of relaxing. We live on a lake. So the summer is kind of a fun time to go out on the boat. I'm really trying to master my wake surfing skills. So that is the goal this summer. But anyway, so I don't know that as an entrepreneur, I have a typical day, because every day is a little bit different, but that's kind of the gist. I do work, I would say, you know, 3 to 4 hours a day on a consistent basis. I'm in the process now of creating a course, which is a big, you know, huge bunch of work. Yeah. And I'm trying to, you know, break that off into little bites, but it's fun to, you know, work on things that bring goodness, right? And so that's what it will be. But yeah.
It'd be a little bit of a silly question. I don't know if you can answer it, but do you know what your human design is?
I've never heard of this, so I don't know.
Okay. So you know, like there's like astrology, there's Enneagram, there's like your Myers-Briggs.
Okay, and I know my Enneagram, but I don't.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's human design, which I lump them all together. Okay. There's ways of identifying your personality and how you work that. Can you share your favorite quote or piece of wisdom that motivates you in your daily life?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I have one other than my life first. So I would say, I guess then my life first, which is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So, you know, that just applies to nearly any type of situation that you can find yourself in, you know, when I'm confused, when I don't know what to do or whatever, it's just silence myself. And he already has it laid out. I just need to stop and be aware, right?
What a beautiful practice to get into. First of all, Proverbs slaps, because I feel like any quote or any verse you can get
can
be applicable to anything. Second of all, what a beautiful practice to get into, to just stop, train yourself to stop, quiet, and listen. And I truly believe that our intuition is the Holy Spirit. And when you can just sit and listen and open yourself up to that and quiet the mind, that answer that you're looking for or that peace that you're looking for is going to come out of your intuition if you just allow it the space to.
Right. That's the thing, right? We're so busy doing and speaking and doing. If we don't silence ourselves, how are we going to hear from the Holy Spirit?
If you could give one piece of advice to every mother out there, what would it be?
Trust your intuition. I feel, you know, even just in my, you know, 30 years of motherhood, you are given a gift. You know your children best. You just do. And there's so many outside voices trying to tell you that they're the expert or they know, or they blah, 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 right? But you do know your child best. And so when you have an uneasy feeling, there's a reason and you need to lean into that. And regarding anything, your child's health, your child's school situation, you know, an issue that may be in your family with your children, like, don't be afraid to lean in and trust your intuition. It is a true gift. Yeah.
I have the same piece of advice. I purposefully, when I was pregnant, did not read any parenting books because I knew that the overwhelming information would just make me anxious, and the contradictory information that I would get. And I always also tell people, like, be careful with the other mothers that you surround yourself with.
Yes.
Because that's going to be a huge influence too.
Totally.
But yeah, these outside voices, these experts, can really stunt, in my opinion, your child's ability to thrive if you're not listening to them and what they need. And when you're really, like, pushing them to fit into this schedule that might not just, not, I mean, I'm obviously in the toddler stage, but, like, fit them into this schedule that just doesn't work for them, or fit them into this sleeping pattern that doesn't work for them. And if you're not listening to that and taking notes on how they're responding, then you're going to have way more problems in terms of just, like, tantrums, sure, but in the way that they're responding to you, in the way that they're responding to the world. And they also, like, our children also have wisdom. Like, they're communicating with us what they need as well, while our intuition is also communicating with us what they need. So beautiful, because that applies to every stage of motherhood.
Yep, totally.
What's a silly or memorable story that you have from being a flight attendant?
Oh my gosh. Well, I can just, I had Richard Simmons on a flight twice. And you have to remember now, this is, you know, like the 90s. And so he was still in his prime of, you know, and maybe you have listeners who are like, who? Richard who? You don't know. You just have to Google Richard Simmons. But so he was very vivacious, you know, very fit, you know, led these exercise classes. And it was hysterical to me because he would get on the airplane, he would drink a bottle of water, and then he would just basically sleep for like a 5-hour flight. And that was how that was him. And so I'm just like, this is so ironic, but it really made the reality of, right, what you always see, you know, it isn't always that way. People always need, right, they need to recharge. And so anyway, so I don't know that it was very funny, but not a very funny story, but it was just very ironic. I also had Ray Charles on a flight once before, and that was really cool because, I mean, he's just kind of an ionic figure, and so that was good. And Larry King I had on a flight once too, so it was kind of cool.
That is very cool. I appreciate those stories. Those totally fit the bill for my question that I was
very good.
What is your favorite part about living in Washington
at this stage of the game is that I'm near my older kids. So I have three. Yeah. So I have three older children that are out of the house. Two are married and one just finished his fifth year of college. And so they are, there in Washington. And so, yeah, that's why we moved back to this state, which we had left and weren't sure where we were going to go. So when we sold our house and lived in an Airstream for a year, we ended up coming back to this area. And it was because our kids were here. And there's a lot of beautiful things about this state, a lot of things I don't really appreciate. But the reason that we are still here is because of our kids, our older kids. So
I must say, I am a little bit jealous. I've never been that far out west, but one, I can only imagine there's some great coffee out there.
Yes, there's good coffee. Yeah.
And two, there must be some beautiful nature and hiking trails.
Yes. The only thing is it's so many people and so crowded. It's not as enjoyable as it once was. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind of more like, oh, if I could go to Wyoming or Montana, I could find very similar kind of, you know, outdoor activity, just not as many people.
Before we go, tell everyone where they can find you, what your offerings are.
Sure. Well, I guess the one place that I'll lead that people can find me is obviously on Instagram. And I'm Confident Mom over on Instagram. So you can come give me a follow there. And I do have, I mentioned, a free guide. I would love for you to grab that and just kind of take a look and just see what are some habits that you can implement. So that you'll find in a link in my Instagram as well. I have a blog, which is theconfidentmom.com. So you can go check out there. 16 years of content, and it'll be pretty hysterical to go back in the beginning and read some of the things that I blogged about. But yeah, if you really want to waste some time, you can do that. But
give yourself some more credit. And it is 16 years of wisdom.
Oh my God. The most popular item that people love to grab from me is my weekly household planner. And so it is yearly. So this is 2024 planner. But we recently marked it at 50% off because half the year is over. So you'll get July through December and it's 50% off. And so it's a PDF. So you can print it at home. You can print one page at a time, or you can get a printed copy sent to you as well. So there's all that information. But what this does is takes out the decision fatigue for you to manage your home. And so that has been a huge blessing. I think over 6,300 women have downloaded it this year alone and have just found such peace knowing what they need to do when they get up in the morning. And, you know, they just work through a couple tasks. If they get all of them done, great. If not, they know those tasks will come back around. So it's just a great little kind of perspective to keep things running smooth in your house. So, yeah. So that'll be a good one that the people can grab for 50% off now.
I just want to say before we go, thank you for what you're doing on social media, because there are so many people who don't have moms themselves, or don't have moms that have been able to teach them how to be moms, or don't have influences in their lives who teach them how to be wives and homemakers and serve in the way that you are doing. And you are providing so much value and filling a lot of gaps that people wouldn't have otherwise been able to have filled. So I want you to also remember that you are doing that work.
Thank you.
As well.
Thank you. Well, I take that to heart, and that's why I know, right? This is what keeps me motivated, because I know that I know that I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, this has been so later. Fun. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the woo-woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.